Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
I think it really comes down to two words: genuine concern. Am I genuinely concerned about those that I serve? And so when I look at leadership, it is about service to others. It's about leadership by example, okay? And also realizing that one person can make a difference. And if you are the I, me, and my guy, it doesn't work. It has to be the we, us, and our.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Hey, welcome to the show today, and so glad that you're with us. And you know, as we are, I don't know what are we here past. I've lost count, but we're at like episode 200 and something. We're over 200 now, and I have been looking forward to this conversation for some time because I've known today's guest for, gosh, what's it going on? Maybe 4 years now. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show. So our guest today is Virge Palumbo, and Virge is was honored to serve in the Marine Corps as an infantry officer, a number of different billets assignments there. Today, serving as the president of organizational efficiency for K-Force Inc. And we'll learn just a little bit more about organizational efficiency, I'm sure. But Virge is also a student of leadership. And I don't know, I mean, I read a lot of books. I'm not sure I know anybody who's read more books or reads more books on a daily basis than Virge Palumbo. So Virge, welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul. So glad to have you.
David, it's an honor to be here, and thank you for having me. And it does seem like yesterday we met, it was in Petersburg, and it just seems like yesterday, but it was probably 4.5 years ago. So it's amazing how quick time flies.
It really is. It really is. And so when we're talking about meeting, K-Force has been a long-term client of ours, and Virge was serving as a regional president for many years in that capacity. And so we got to do a lot of leadership work and development work together. So, okay, Virge, let's learn a little bit more about you. Take us back your earliest memory of yourself as a leader.
So I had to go back to third grade, and my best friend, Jim Jarvis, who's now a doctor at UPMC and in Pittsburgh. And I was involved with the student council. And so, and I can't remember what we were trying to do, but a third grader doesn't have much power. Okay. It's not like, you know, a senator. Okay. And I just remember being a part of that and understanding, or by introduction, not understanding, you never fully comprehend something. It's just learning how the process works and being a part of that. And then as I progressed through, you know, those years, I just felt like a calling to try to serve and to lead. So that would be my first memory.
I love it. Third grade. That's going a ways back. What's the parliamentary procedure look like? Is it like, I yield my time to the honored gentleman from room 312, you know?
Exactly. The third grader from East End of Wimber Area School District.
You know, but those, and I find that, and that's one of the things I love about it. I know you've been a fan listening to the show. I love the ways that our leadership expresses itself so early in life and all the different kinds of interests and things and what comes out of that. So, all right. So you've been a Marine Corps officer, president in this organization for a number of years. When you think of human-centered leadership,
What does that mean to you, when, as opposed to maybe other variations, but what does human-centered leadership mean for you?
I think it really comes down to two words: genuine concern. And so, am I genuinely concerned about those that I serve? And so when I look at leadership, it is about service to others. It's about leadership by example, okay? And also realizing that one person can make a difference. And if you are the I, me, and my guy, right, or gal, it doesn't work. It has to be the we, us, and our. And as a leader, General Tom Jones, my regimental commander in Haiti, he always talks about leadership is dangerous. It's like smoking cigarettes, where it has the warning label, and it should say leadership is dangerous unless you have genuine concern. And so to me, that's human-centered leadership.
Wow. Genuine concern. I love that warning label too. Leadership is dangerous. I might extend it. Leadership is dangerous, period, full stop. Because if you do have genuine concern, which I would completely agree with, that carries challenges all its own, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, I mean, the knife will always cut both ways. So you've got to balance that with mission accomplishment and those types of things. But at the end of the day, this is just my belief in the narrative of my head, people can smell intentions a mile away.
Yeah.
And as instinctive animals, we could smell that. We know if that person, he or she is really doing something for their glory or your best interest.
Yeah, I truly believe that. You know, people aren't dumb. They know. Yeah.
Exactly.
They know. So, well, I want to explore this just a little bit farther, because it is in our programs, when we talk about trust and the different components of building trust, you've got credibility. Do I know what you're doing? Reliability. Can I trust you to keep your word? The connection. Do I know you as a human being? And then that fourth one is what you're talking about. And it's the leverages everything else. It's either a multiplier or a divider. Do I believe you have my best interest at heart? And that's what you're calling genuine concern. Do I believe you're genuinely concerned about me? So with that foundation, one of the questions that comes up in programs from leaders is what you were just expressing. I do have the organizational objectives I'm accountable for. I do need to achieve these things. Sometimes that's going to be hard to say. How do I balance? How do I do the both and of genuine concern for the human beings on my team and the mission or the objective? And as a military officer, I mean, I'm sure I know that you have lived that in a very real way.
Yes. I mean, I think it goes back to another thought, and it's vault, right? So valued, accepted, understood, loved, and trusted. So everybody in the team should feel that, right? Are they valued? Are they accepted? Are they understood? They loved and trusted. And that was a big concept. And I learned that from Dan Pultz, who I just had breakfast with this morning and fought in the most brutal battle in Vietnam, Gatlin's Corner. So now if everyone understands vault, they also understand the mission, right? And they understand the risks of the mission. I mean, so, and I'll use corporate America. We all know if you're in a publicly held organization, there's times we have to tighten the belt. And sometimes, you know, we have to make very hard decisions that impact lives. And that whole philosophy of it's nothing personal, it's business, is one of the biggest lies ever, right? And if you read the book, it even goes into a couple pages of why it's a great lie, okay? Because it is personal, and we are making a difference in people's lives. So I go back to if the team understands and we have that feeling, going back to vault, then you understand the risks of the mission, okay? And as a leader, it is tough, right? You know, was heavy as the crown, okay, on the head, okay? That's part of leadership, and that's making those tough decisions and moving an organization forward.
All right, that vault is powerful. So valued, appreciated, understood.
Accepted, understood, loved. And trusted. And then going a little deeper in love, and this goes back to General Jones, agape love. So I remember the first time I heard it, I'm like, you know, really, what's this? Okay. But there's, I guess, four words for love in Greek. And agape is the highest form of love, right? It is a love without any expectation. And, you know, there's so many great stories in history of where you see a leader that he or she has shown agape love. They have no expectation, right, of something back. They're just trying to make the world get to its best version of itself. So,
And ultimately, I think that's what's at the heart of leadership is, you know, it's that hope, that belief that we can have a better future if we work together, that it's going to be bigger than you or I can do on our own. And that concern and compassion, I love them. I'm just enjoying this conversation so much. The genuine concern that a leader has, that is the defining characteristic of a human-centered leader. Yep. Thank you for that, Virge. You know, as you're talking about genuine concern, caring for your people, and the culture environment that creates for them, and the knowledge they also have of the mission and as everybody's working together, one of the ways that you expressed that for many years, and you've wrapped it up since, but is you wrote constantly, like every day you would write to support your people. I think you started at the beginning of the pandemic, right?
Yep.
And I was just so touched by that in such a powerful way. So you would write an email to everybody in your organization, right? Yes. Or at least those who chose to get it. But what were you writing? What were you sharing? Every day you were sharing something.
I'll tell you why I was doing it. Okay. You try to go through life without regrets. And there was a situation when I was at the Naval Academy. I wish I would have offered a word of encouragement. And I didn't. And unfortunately, my teammate, he took his life. Right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if my words would have made an impact. But I could still feel in the chow line, you know, we would King Hall, you would have everyone's back. And I just wish I would have turned around and said, hey, man, it's going to be okay. Don't let them get to you. Right. And I didn't. And I have no reason. I have no excuse. So that's something I think about. And then as we were alone, right, we were alone in the pandemic. We were isolated. Like, what about a word of encouragement, right? Just a little word, something that lets somebody know, hey, this guy up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania from Wimber, PA, he cares about you, right? And so we developed a daily email, and it was Motivational Monday, Training Tuesday, Wellness Wednesday, Thankful Thursday, and Financial Friday. And so we had a normal cadence, and it would be rise and grind, okay? But I always ended the way my grandmother, when I went off to the Naval Academy, my grandma Palumbo would say, hey, the phone's on, the coffee's warm and strong, and the kitchen light's on. And that meant comfort to me, right? And so I ended it, and it became a tag, right? So, we ended it just recently. It was the right time to make that transition. So it was just my way of trying to say, give a little hope, give a little encouragement, and let people know they're not alone.
It's so beautiful. And I didn't know where that came from, nor did I know where the tag came from. I'm learning so much, but I did. I was a recipient of these emails too. I enjoyed getting them and learned things. And so there's the one of just providing the hope, the encouraging word, the comfort. And you had the intentionality. And so this is something I'm sure that has happened in different ways, but like you said Financial Friday or Wellness Wednesday. You're investing in specific ways in your people, and it's genuine concern going beyond just, hey, are you doing all right?
Yep.
You know, or, hey, I care. I want to make sure you're staying healthy, or, you know, that kind of thing. Like these broad generalities, like you were getting to a deeper level of compassion, care, concern for your folks and investing in them in some different ways. Why did you make those choices, and what prompted, you know, those specific areas, I guess?
Well, I'd go back to my training as a Marine infantry officer. And I was taught, okay, and the narrative I have on my head is strategy without tactics is an hallucination. You'll hear my teams, when I had teams, I talked to them about that. If we can't tactically produce tactical outputs and tangible things, it's just a hallucination, right? And so to me, I wanted to be able to give something to an individual and say, hey, here's one thing that could possibly improve your life, right? Hey, here's one way to create wealth. Here's one step, right? And then create that dialogue or create that curiosity. So then an individual will say, hey, you know, I never thought about that. Maybe that's why I'm not sleeping right. Okay. Or, you know, Unthankful Thursday, I didn't know about that human being. And that person can motivate, if he or she can do it, so can I, right? So that was the idea. Because I believe, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be able to execute at the tactical level. So that was kind of the whole thought on it.
Yeah. Well, and when we talk about leadership without losing your soul, you know, we are all about those practical, tactical steps we can take. And that is such a beautiful one, that to be able to support, encourage, and invest in people. And it took some of your time. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And I'm not recommending everybody listening go out and start a daily email, because that's a huge investment. And not everyone is wired quite like Verge here. But what can you do to invest in support and encourage your folks on a regular kind of way? So hopefully Verge is just giving you some ideas. All right. So I want to take some of the time we have left, go to another topic. And I have not prepared Verge at all for these questions. Just he's hitting them. He's getting them the same time you are, listeners. So Verge, I'm going to tell you something that among leaders that I have met in corporate America, and I've met many, many of them, thousands and thousands and thousands around the world, when it comes to dealing with stress and high pressure, I'm going to put pressure in quotes, situations, you are definitely in the upper echelon of how people respond to stress from a leadership position. You know, somebody runs in with a, oh my gosh, my hair's on fire and all these things are happening and so forth. And you have a particular approach, a perspective, a way, some phrases that I thought might be particularly helpful, some perspective that you could share with our listeners to help in navigating those high pressure, intense, stressful situations.
So, well, I guess it goes back to a simple equation. And I think it's from the writer Brian Knight. It's the event plus the response equals the outcome, right? E plus R equals O. And the only thing I can control is my response. So, you know, you go to the business world, a client just went south. That's outside your, you know, that's outside your control, right? You know, you go back to 08, right? The financial meltdown, okay? All those things. So then it comes down to what's your response, right? And I believe, right, from the training, okay, is you have the ability to think, right? And my cousin Ray, the general, always say, before you go the last 100 yards, okay, go the first 6 inches between your ears, right? So now I'm processing. And there's basically two responses. There's above the line and below the line. So if you're above the line, you're going to be noble. You're going to be intentional. Okay. And if you're below the line, you're going to blame, complain, defend. And then that little simple equation will help determine the outcome. And that's why, you know, when we talk about command presence, right? If someone comes in and they say, the sky's falling. And then you go, the sky's falling. You start running around. Okay. That's not a good response, okay? But if you can be calm, right? Your stomach may be turning, right? But if you can be calm and intentional, calm is contagious, right? Mm-hmm. Just like fear is contagious. Mm-hmm. So to me, you know, and in every bad situation, right? I don't want to be Pollyannish. There are some really horrible things that happen in the world, right? And it's not going to be, it's going to be sunshine and rainbows. But at the same time, if you can think about it and can turn it into a positive experience, okay, and get directional, okay, you can make the best out of a worst case scenario. That's just how I look at it.
Yeah, and when you're talking about our response, you know, a couple things that come to mind. One, you were just talking about the contagion of emotions, and emotions are contagious, and that's why, from a leadership perspective, if calm is contagious, if fear is contagious, the emotional component of our leadership and understanding how human beings process and what happens is critical for helping people stay in a place where they can problem solve and not get their amygdala and adrenaline fired up.
Exactly.
And there's a set of questions. I have heard you use these in different things. You know, somebody comes in with their hair on fire or sky is falling, and you'll say something along the lines of, is anybody hurt?
Yep.
And so what is that dialogue that you run through?
So I try to make sure that the leader keeps perspective, right? So I'll ask, you know, is all the blood still in the good guys? And they're like, yeah. Like, okay, so why do we have an issue right now? Right? Let's walk through this.
Yeah.
Is everyone fine? Yes. Okay. And it's just keeping that perspective, right? It doesn't mitigate the situation, right? But it's also, you know, you look at like the situations we're in, like for instance, if it's raining, this is rain. Okay. It's horrible. It's cold. Like, we're not sleeping in it. Okay. Like, you just keep perspectives. So it goes back to being from Winbur, so a small coal mining town. I remember I was shoveling snow right in front of my aunt Nora's house, right? So it was like I'm shoveling this couple houses, and there was an older bunch of Italians there, and Mr. Marino, okay, God rest his soul. I'm there shoveling and I'm sniveling. I'm a kid, right? Like 13, probably gonna get like 50 cents. Okay. And Mr. Marino walks by and he goes, are you okay? And I go, it's cold. He goes, you don't know cold until you fight the Germans in the Ardennes. And he walked up. And I remember that, right? That's like, he just shamed me into shoveling, right? But it taught me perspective, right? You know, so, and keeping that perspective.
That role of leadership, of helping people get the proper perspective, you know, yep. that, okay, is anybody hurt? No. Is everybody yep. okay? Yes. All right. Well, then we've de-escalated. We're not yep. talking about that level of emergency. So what's actually happening here? Because when, you know, from a human perspective, if our adrenaline is taken over, if we're fired up in that fight or flight, we can't make the decisions and the problem solving. You got to be able to get control of that. And so from a leadership perspective, your ability to do that, I think, is just vital. And that's why I have admired those questions.
Well,
and
the way well, thank that you, you
engage with folks that way, because it does help them take a breath, de-escalate, get their frontal cortex, get the front yep. of their mind back engaged. And now we can process and do some problem solving.
Well, tying into that, David, I would also say, lift your chin up, right? You lift your chin up, take a deep breath, right? Let's talk through this. Okay. And then you just walk through the scenario, and then you go out and execute on that scenario. And so, but now I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah.
My wife would think otherwise. Like she'd be like, he freaks out, you know, on certain things. So,
Well, hey, that is we always talk about land in the end with confidence and humility. That is the humility part of the conversation here, is we all have our buttons.
Yes, we do.
hey, while we're talking, Instagram just suspended our Let's Grow Leaders account for violating community guidelines. We're like, for publishing leadership content, like there. And I read the guidelines. There's no, and of course they have this, and there's nothing you can do, and it's unappealable. Blah blah blah. I'm like, listen, you want to see me freak out? I have to not think about it, because it makes my blood boil. Just the pure injustice of it. I'm a calm, patient fellow, and yep. it turns me rageful. You know, we all have our buttons. We all have our things.
Exactly.
That's just fair. All right. Well, we're talking with Verge Palumbo. Verge is the president of organizational efficiency at K-Force. And Verge, I know that you've taken on this role only recently, and you're very much in the first few months of learning a whole new aspect of things. What are you enjoying most about your work right now?
I'm enjoying being able to apply my experiences and expand my thinking and creating organizational value. And so to me, in simple terms, right, I'm learning, and I am attacking the unknown unknowns, where I'm learning and I'm walking into meetings. I'm trying to, and the narrative I have in my head is I'm attacking it with the curiosity of a child, right? And then at the same time, I'm challenging, you know, some of my beliefs, right? Oh, wait, well, this is how the organization should be. So those are the unknown knowns. So to me, I've been honored. Okay. You know, when Kai, Dave and Joe had decided to transfer me over, I was honored for it. It's been a great experience. But so the biggest thing is really the challenge. It's so challenging.
And the learning and the challenge. And I know, listeners, you can't see Virg's eyes, but if you could see the fire in his eyes right now, it's so fun. But that learning, and we know from all the studies about neuroplasticity and the way our brains work and everything, like when we're in that state of continual learning, it keeps us fresh and young and energized, even though it's work, it does do all those things for us. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, listen, we've got just a few minutes left. So can I fire a couple rapid fire questions at you?
Go right ahead.
All right. This one might be the toughest that you get, but give us a book we might not have read. We got some leadership people listening to this show, but a book that we might not have read that you recommend, and it could be about leadership, life, what have you.
Well, obviously, you know, everyone's heard of the Bible. Okay. That would be the first. The second is Viktor Frankl, A Man's Search for Meaning. And if you haven't read that, to your listeners, I think it's one of the most powerful books I've read in my life. And I was going through a rough time, you know, and we all go through rough times in life, and, you know, and searching for that meaning. And that book, to me, is something you have to read and you have to stick with, right? Because it goes through Viktor Frankl's experience in Dachau, and it's dark. I mean, obviously, and the Holocaust. But you have to stick through. You have to read all the sections. So that would be the most powerful book that I've read. And I always recommend it to anybody that is going through some tough times or trying to get to the best version of themselves to read that book.
Yeah, it's a powerful one, no doubt. There are, you know, we don't have time to get into all the details, but boy, there are elements of that book that I don't think a month or two goes by where some of those images I'm not thinking about.
Yes.
Statements and the things that he challenges us to think about. Great recommendation. All right. On a much lighter note, favorite carbonated beverage?
Soda water.
Soda water. All right. That's typically my go-to on an airplane as well. Refreshing and crisp. There we go. All right. When you think of leadership advice that has been the most helpful to you in your career that we haven't already talked about.
Okay.
One of the most helpful pieces of leadership advice that you have found very helpful throughout your life.
Don't be afraid to say, I love you.
Mm.
And I can remember that several times. And so I've been able, as a family, we're a very loving family, right? But to say to your people, hey, I love you, and mean it, right? So, and like going back to previous, you know, with agape love, it's the highest form of love. So that's what I would say. That'd be my best advice.
Say it and live it.
Yep. Say it and live it. And the other thing is, and this is more something I've learned along the way, you're not going undefeated in life. So you're going to get knocked down. Okay. And it's cliche. You got to get back up, you know, but the bottom line is you're going to get knocked down. And expect so it. You're not, yeah, you expect it. Okay. Do everything you can to prepare for it. Okay. And so to me, it is, you're not going undefeated. And the last piece of advice I'd give, ignorance is a choice, right? You can choose to be ignorant, right? There's ways you got to educate yourself. It's your responsibility. And anything that you're experiencing, somebody else has experienced, and you can learn from his or her experiences through many platforms. It doesn't have to be books or what have you, but ignorance is a choice.
Mm. And it sounds like your recommendation obviously is make a different choice.
Yes, make it. It's your choice. And then, you know what? Whatever choice you choose, that's outside my, you know, that's outside my response. Okay. So how I respond to you is my choice.
There you go. So much good stuff. All right. E plus R equals O, event plus response equals outcome. Get that perspective, genuine concern for the human beings on your team. That's what defines a human-centered leader. Maintaining our perspective when the sky seems to be falling. Is it really? Is everybody hurt? Is everybody good? Saying I love you and meaning it and living it. So much good stuff, Urs. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me here, David, and give my best to Karen.
It has been our pleasure. So you're going to get knocked down. Expect it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And we know that you're listening to this show, so you are not choosing ignorance. Listeners, thank you for being here. Thank you for being the leader that you want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.